You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
And it is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. We've been talking about this. I think that this is an often overlooked topic because we are really good typically. Well, we either fall on two sides of it. We're either terrible at forgiving other people and we just don't. And we dig our heels in, or we do it too easily. We become a doormat to the rest of the world. But we are harshest on ourselves.
Oh, we are. And that's just crazy, but it's the truth, and it causes all kinds of problems. Nancy, talk to us about this. I really didn't even give it a whole lot of thought until I saw your question yesterday. How do I forgive myself? How do I even know that I need to forgive myself?
I know. It's great, and so many Christians, especially women and even kids. I think if you're not excited and joyful about your life, I don't care what the circumstances, but have that underwriting hope and peace in you, then I think it goes back so often to this question. I mean, you know, the gospel of the Christian faith is clear. It's Jesus's death and resurrection, and he paid the death penalty for our sins, past, present, and future. And you know, his sacrifice and our relationship with Jesus are sealed. In Ephesians, it says we are sealed with him. And all humans, of course, will, and including all of us, continue to sin. When we sin against one another, the important thing is to realize, yes, we sin against people, but ultimately we sin against God. In a wrongdoing or sin is against God, and it's so important that we realize this. All sin is against God. Therefore, God's sovereignty, he chooses to forgive us and then forget our sins. So here we have this beautiful gospel saying Jesus died for our sins. Not only did he die for them and he paid the price, but he did that so we can be free to live in full, with his peace no matter what the situation, with joy no matter what. And therefore, all of us need God's irreversible forgiveness, and that's the problem. We come off of this, oh yes, I'm forgiven, I'm clearly forgiven, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and then all of a sudden we start to drift, and God is whispering over and over to us and screaming to us, my forgiveness is irreversible. Therefore, you know, stop doubting it. Christians, the Bible is clear on this. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So essentially here, look, we're all guilty and God says, I know it. And then he says here in 1 John 2, but if anyone does sin, which we all do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. It is Jesus who forgives sins of everybody. And this is what is, I think, missing in our worldviews as Christians. It's Psalm 103. He does not deal with us according to our sins. This is so cool. According to our sins, the little ones or the big ones, what he's saying here. Nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. If he did, we'd all be dead. So, and for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He chooses in his sovereignty to forget.
Well, let me ask this then. How does understanding Jesus, his sacrifice, right? This is about the sacrifice that he did for us. As you said, propitiation, atonement. How does understanding Jesus' sacrifice for us play into our ability to forgive ourselves?
Yes, and again, here, if we understand Jesus' sacrifice for our sin, we really get it. We should extend that grace by forgiving others who have sinned against us. That starts there, that we choose when somebody offends us, whether willingly or unwilling, whatever the circumstance, that we must forgive them as Christ forgives others. But this is the thing. Why do we struggle then with forgiving ourselves? It's much easier to forgive other people typically than it is ourselves. Why do we replay past sins over and over in our minds when Christ has long since forgotten them? Why do we still feel guilty, especially when we have hurt someone? Might we need to forgive and choose to forgive instead of allowing our emotions to dictate how we live our lives? And while the concept of forgiveness might seem simple, many live with regret because of feelings of guilt. And we believe that God forgives others and not us. I've so been there. But these doubts of God's faithfulness are not coming from God. Just so you know, these are coming strictly from the doubter, the liar. His name is Satan. And this is the thing. He whispers to us that we are not deserving of such forgiveness. Let me say that again. He whispers to us that we are not deserving of such forgiveness. He reminds us of our past, and hopelessness begins taking over our lives. When we listen to Satan's lies and accusations, rather than going to the scripture, knowing God's word, you know, because he reminds us, Satan reminds us of our past, of our hopelessness. And before we know it, that peace and love and joy in our house, in our hearts begins to drain out. The enemy continues to accuse us, reminding us of our sins and convincing us at times that heaven awaits others, not us. And you know, it is so easy to slip into this because Satan is nipping at our heels. And these thoughts are not the message of the gospel. The Bible makes it very clear that we could never pay the price for our sins. And the gospel tells us that God's wrath for our sins has been poured out on Jesus. He's the one that suffered. Through him, justice was served. Therefore, our living in guilt and shame is a denial of the truth of the gospel. For many, pride and unbelief are sins. See, this is the thing. Unbelief is a sin, and we need to confess it. Because the truth is, we can't fix ourselves. We can't, for some reason, talk ourselves into something that only God has done. It's done. It's finished. God left that up to Jesus. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:4-9. But God, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised up with him, seated with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. There's the answer right there. You're already forgiven. You don't forgive yourself. But spiritually, with our relationship with God, when we choose not to embrace the gospel, which is the key message of the Christian faith, it is the thing that God wants us to get more than anything else out of the Bible. So you don't live with guilt, so you can be free of that. Romans 5:6-8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What God is saying here, it's over. Why are you doubting? It is over. And we need to be rejoicing, understanding, because that guilt and shame, just frankly, it does not come from God. That's not God's voice.
You know, something that surprised me, Nancy, too, is I never really thought of the Apostle Paul as someone with a need necessarily to forgive himself for anything. I think we tend to look at him in Scripture as this super Christian, but he did have to deal with the issue of forgiving himself. And talk about that.
Yes. I mean, he was a Jew of Jews, and he was an evil man who had been a violent persecutor of the followers of Jesus. He's there when Stephen was killed. He was responsible for the deaths of I don't know how many Christians. He was a Jewish leader. He was well educated, but he's also one that chose to kill and destroy those that came against him. And this is the thing that it's such a beautiful story. It's so just black and white. We can clearly see the darkness of Paul. And then boom, when he met Jesus and understood that God not only forgave him for all of the horrific things he did, but also laid out a plan for him that his life wasn't over, that his purpose on life from that point on was to take the gospel to the Gentiles and through them into the world. And rather than choose to live in shame and regret over what he'd done, which he easily could have, thinking that God could not use him or constantly reminding himself of sin, he believed God. You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, he writes in 2 Corinthians. But he says here, and this is what I love, 1 Timothy 1:15-17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserved full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And then he writes in Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. Just in fact, you are doing. And, you know, I think Isaiah 40:31, one of my all-time favorite verses comes to mind here. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And those who hold on to guilt and shame are holding on something that does not exist from God. And if God is the one we've sinned against and he forgives us, we need to choose. I mean, almost every day, right? To not listen to the doubter, but to rather to believe in the truth. And that's the gospel, that beautiful gospel that God so loved that he died for us.
That is truly walking by faith. You know, Nancy, when I think of that, we have to believe that the Lord has forgiven us. We have to have that same mercy that we would offer to others. We've got to believe in our heart of hearts the very things that turned us toward Christ for ourselves. It's a remarkable little paradox that we have to get through, but it is so difficult to be forgiving and show mercy for our own selves than it is to give it to others often or to receive it from Christ. It's just one of those parts of walking out our Christian faith, and that's why Teaching Tuesday is so, so important.
I really, it is critical, and that's why I'm so glad that Moody has stayed true to the call of really educating people and encouraging one another, because, you know, so many Christians I know, public speakers, this and that and the other, that proclaim the gospel, are speaking all over, still beat themselves up.
Yeah.
And we need to get beyond that, because it's slowing us down. It's hurting our relationship with God. And it's not a prideful thing, like, you know, that false pride kind of thing. Oh, I'm such a sinner, you know, and playing that role. And it's just like, you know, I'm celebrating that in spite of my badness, God loves me and I'm free. And I can go on, not sinning, but learning from when God checks me up for something, you know, and continuing on.
Yeah.
Paul didn't stop with his guilt and his shame. He was just saying, I'm forgiven. I'm living mm-hmm. that out, because that's the truth. In our minds, especially women, we can go back decades and quote somebody, you know, but just to stop it, because in God's mind, he forgot. So that time you're going back to visit, God does not recognize. And the reason why that matters is because God's the one that forgives. So who are we to be so prideful to think, well, I'm not forgiving myself, because God has. So that is an act of disobedience and pride, and we need to just stop it and keep going.
Yeah, and we wait until we feel it too, but what does it even feel like? And you can't rely on your heart. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all else, and you have to accept it. And I'm going to need you to remind me of that when I fall into that again, because we are so susceptible to doing that. Hey, listen, if today's Teaching Tuesday with Nancy Fitzgerald really hit home with you and you'd like to learn more about biblical worldview ministry, and it's so important, especially if you've got kids, you got to train them up in the way that they are to go. You can connect with her website and get hold of Nancy there and find out more about biblical worldview training at anchorsaway.org, or you can just click on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org.
That's
Nancy,
right.
Let's go forth and forgive ourselves.
And have some fun.
We're good.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.